if I could click my snail mail to open it instead of having to tear that envelope and pull the thing out and unfold it.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, there's so many things that I get through email now, you know, bills and statements. I'd much rather get it online. It's faster for me.
Sure, yeah.
And it costs less for the business. And once consumers start to understand that things that cost less for the business allow them to lower prices for you, then that's a beautiful thing.
But exactly.
Most people don't. They still waste businesses' money and then wonder why prices are...
So what about marketing then, as far as geography? Would you be marketing pretty much the same in the States as you'd be marketing, for example, in South Africa?
South Africa. You know, I would bet that computer usage and internet connectivity is probably not exactly where it is in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The principles still apply, no matter what. If there aren't any user groups for people who are in South Africa for the product that you're trying to promote, then no, you're probably not going to go there. You're probably going to have to go to something that's offline.
Right,
or
yep.
You may find that there's a readership there. You know, there may be a magazine that comes out in South Africa that reaches all of those, you know, expensive car users, and nobody's really looking for any of that information online because they're already getting it efficiently through the magazine.
Right. Yeah.
And I'd be pursuing that avenue with everything I've got.
Next thing I'm curious about, Tom, is what's the best way to determine the angle for an ad or for a piece of a copy? Or when you sit down to write a piece of copy, how do you go about that?
The best way to determine, or the way to find the best angle?
Yeah, basically, if you were to sit down right now and you're going to write an ad for the music industry, for example, how would you decide kind of which direction to come in from, you know, when you're writing your ad? Do you come in as an expert? Do you come in as a user? How do you determine what your angle for the ad or the piece of copy? If you're going to write maybe the homepage for, you know, for something that you're doing in the music industry, how would you determine what you're going to say? How are you going to say it? That kind of thing.
I think more important than the angle is first you have to know what your goal is, and that starts with empathy. And usually when you go through this empathic process, if you imagine who your target is and what kind of information they would be looking for, receptive to, then the angles come naturally. Now you might combine that, like, if you know of a way to reach them, or you already have an asset, you know, an establishment with a particular advertiser or publisher where they would be expecting a certain kind of information, then that's the angle I'm going to take, because that's probably going to be the information that they're most receptive to. So but you want to work with an example?
Yeah, let's do that.
Go ahead and give me a product that you've struggled with.
I'll give you a product that I think everybody struggles with, is basically information. There's so much information out there. I think right now it's very difficult to get your product to stand out. Just as an example, I mean, there's got to be thousands and thousands of e-books and printed books and CDs on affiliate marketing. How would I come out now with an e-book on affiliate marketing and make it stand out?
You know, that's a good question. That's a tough one. Well, let's go through the empathic process.
Sure.
Who is your target? Are you looking to find people who have already been in affiliate marketing for X number of days, or somebody who is new to the process?
I would say we'd be looking at somebody who's tried affiliate marketing and they fall into the category that 97% of affiliate marketers fall into, that they're making, you know, less than $157 a month. So they know that there is something there, but they don't know how to get to the next level and actually make it a business.
Okay. All right. So we're going to start with let's say I don't want to use the term disillusioned, but
they're disillusioned.
You know, actually, that's a word that I think is commonly misused. When somebody is disillusioned, it doesn't mean that they have been tricked over. It means that they have been shown the secret behind something that is a trick.
Ah, it's actually a positive.
Right. It's a subtle distinction, but the actual act of disillusionment is a positive. It's about giving them good information about something that was bad before they knew the information.
Okay.
You follow?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're dealing with a discontent or duped over previously affiliate marketer.
Correct.
And we're trying to get them interested in an ebook that's going to show them how to get into that 3% of people who are making a six-figure income.
Right. That's correct.
Okay. Now, are you looking for people who have already made a full-time commitment or who are in a part-time situation or have only made a part-time commitment?
Well, these people would only be part-time. If they're making less than $157 a month. Hopefully that's not a full-time income.
Probably not.
They're probably dabbling, just kind of trying a lot of different things.
Okay, the dabbler. Now let's go through this. Where do you think the dabbler spends their time?
I think probably too much time surfing around trying to find the latest, hottest, newest, greatest way to market.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not spending any, very little, or not spending any money at all in marketing, trying to do everything free.
Yeah, and I know the feeling there. Okay, so this is somebody who's looking for free resources, and you're going to try to sell them an ebook.
Right.
That could be. That's
well, I don't. I think it's the kind of person where they're looking around. You know, to try and find a way to get out of making $157 a month and make $15,000 a month. So I think they're in the frame of mind where they would pay something if the information is actually going to help them get from A to B.
Okay. Well, I think we've already stumbled onto a very good idea here.
Okay.
One, you know that you're looking at people who are scouring free resources.
Right.
Okay? So that's probably going to be where you find your prospects. Now, I'm going to go with an advertorial again. What I would make this about is what services can be made free and which one should be paid for.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let's refine that headline or that article title a little bit. Five resources you can always get free and three you should always pay for.
Yeah.
To build your business from scratch. How's that?
Super. Yeah.
All right. And with that title, honestly, if you sit down long enough or do the basic research, put your own effort behind that, the article will just about write itself. I always recommend you go through what Joe Vitale was teaching, I don't know, 20 years ago when he wrote his first writing manuscript, and that is you do a really brief throwaway draft where you just get all the ideas out immediately without censoring anything.
Uh-huh.
Then come back. Mm-hmm. Right. And in doing so, it's like a great storyteller. A great storyteller usually becomes great not the first time he tells a story, but the 100th time. Right. And when you go through that process and you look at the reactions, he doesn't stop telling the story in the middle of each one. You do the whole thing in one pass. Mm-hmm. Then you let the feedback ruminate before you go back and do it again, all in one pass. This was also the way that F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote. He was known for writing as many as, 17, 25 revisions of a single chapter, and he would just write the whole thing from start to finish.
Wow.
And, it takes a while, but the results will speak for themselves. We're talking about great people who've written great things here, so I trust their method, and I've found that it works for myself as well. Honestly, if I sat down and put 4 hours into that article and did 1 hour on the first pass and 2 hours of second revisions, then probably send it out to some trusted advisors, not friends, but people who share my interest in business success, may know a little bit about affiliate marketing. That's probably not mandatory, but not just somebody that you know because you work with them or because, they play poker with you on Saturdays. Okay. Because they're probably not going to give you the right kind of feedback if they don't understand you and your target. I would say with about 4 hours of effort, I would have an article that is ready to be distributed to any of those free article resources. And I mentioned, too, when we did the first part of this call, and I have put them up on my website as well as a whole bunch of other products as well as free services that we talked about in the first part of the interview.
Okay.
And that's at advertisingtom.com. And for now, it's on the homepage, but if I end up moving this later and someone is still listening to this, I'll at least have it listed under resources.
Okay, super. Super.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That sounds good. As far as when you're writing the copy, now we're talking about advertorial. Would you use the same basic formula for an advertorial as you would for your homepage, or would you do something different?
Which are you talking about here?
Well, if you have, the point of the advertorial is to get people to buy your ebook on affiliate marketing.
Mm-hmm.
On your homepage of your website, affiliatemarketing.com, for example, on that homepage, would you use that advertorial, or would you write a something new for your homepage that describes your ebook?
If the advertorial is universal and really helps describe the product, it may be valuable as your homepage. It's more likely, though, that you would have a specific sales letter on the web page because that's going to be your not your flycatcher. That's a different term, but it's going to be your landing destination for targeted prospects. You would assume that somebody who is coming to your website has already read a headline and know what kind of information they're going to find out. But it's especially if the advertorial is relevant enough or, produces enough hits or is revolutionary in any way, there's no reason that you can't at least have a website dedicated to the content of that article, which feeds into perhaps a more detailed sales letter designed specifically for the product.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't think that through in advance, so...
And what kind of a formula then would you use when you're writing that sales letter for your homepage?
The sales letter for the homepage, I will usually simply write a personal letter. I try to format it as much like a written letter as possible, simply because it's a format that's instantly personal and is well expected. if you're dealing with a targeted sales page, somebody is coming there for more information about how the product will benefit them before they're willing to give up their money. So I think it's important to make sure that you have at least at some point a personalized message and answer all of those objections in your sales letter. You can have your buy link even, you know, floating in a bubble on the right side if you want to, because some people don't need to read 12 pages. Sometimes people are sold on the first paragraph, and that's fine. If they are, let them buy it from there. But that copy should be a letter which addresses the whole mental process that a client goes through when they're trying to decide whether to buy.
And what is that mental process? How do you figure out what your client or your prospect is thinking?
Mark actually outlined this in his book, The Irresistible Offer. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm going to try to go through it from memory.
And what's the book called?
The Irresistible Offer.
Okay.
You will see every customer wants to know, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
How much does it cost? Why should I believe you? And I don't think he says it this way, but this is how I look at it. What do I stand to lose?
Okay.
Those are four general questions. Depending on the product, it'll break down, a lot more specifically. One thing that your sales letter really should address is in the cost. Not just how much money it's going to be or how that money is going to be broken up over time, but how much more money, since especially we're addressing, marketers and business people here, how much more money this would require in auxiliary purchases, how much money it will save you net over expected purchases, and how much of your time it will take. That's both the time to use the product on a regular basis or, the first time, plus the time to learn it. Those are all things, as well as the cost of the product, that I find missing from hundreds of sales pages, because I look at just about everything.
Uh-huh.
As soon as an offer comes to me, I'll at least check it out from a curious copywriter standpoint.
Sure, yeah. So how do you end up developing the excitement in somebody while you're basically giving them the dry information as well?
That's the creative part. That's the art. If you're someone who has never been in touch with your creative side and you don't enjoy that at all, you're not inspired by the by sales or marketing or anything literary for that matter, whether it's creative writing, fiction, science fiction, children's books, really doesn't matter. If you're not somebody who has that as a part of you, then you probably should not be writing sales copy, because that is the art. The art is getting people excited about something. The art is taking the P.T. Barnum approach, or taking the Robert Collier approach. These are men who could take an ordinary item and creatively expose the hidden benefits of it. You should be a storyteller. You should be able to explain what your product does for a particular user. Let them feel sympathetically or empathically what those hidden benefits are. If you're talking about something that's going to save them 3 hours, tell them what they can do with those 3 hours. If you're talking about a product that is going to save them or earn them this much money, tell them about what they can do with that money. Because really, money in and of itself is not that exciting. It's pieces of paper or digits on a screen. Those are usually the two ways that we see money. And I'm not particularly fond of paper or of digits on the screen. What does excite me, though, is, you know, the idea that I can buy a car with it, I can buy a bigger house with it, I can go out on the town with it, or I can treat my wife and, you know, all of that stuff. The more you know about your target audience, the more you will be able to get into that role of exciting those hidden benefits. If I know that I'm addressing, you know, an audience of 100 who are in exotic car clubs, then yeah, I'm going to talk about exotic cars. Yeah, I'm going to talk about driving, you know, probably even driving faster than the speed limit, driving that car that they always dreamed of, driving in the middle of the night and seeing a cop watch drive the other way and, you know, wave his hand in awe because he just loves the car as much as you do. Those are the kind of things that you need to think about with your audience and find out what it really is. If you're talking about affiliate marketing, what do these people really dream of? Do they dream of sitting around on the telephone, you know, for eight hours a day even? Probably not. Even people who absolutely love selling, who are I know I have a dear friend whom I've known since high school who is an excellent salesman, but I know at any given moment he would rather be having a beer with his friends than sitting on the telephone.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Now people love leisure, and they also love that feeling of success. So you can tell them about how successful they'll feel, how they'll, you know, get over these problems that they've had forever. A lot of that may not even be surprising. And probably isn't, because we're not all that different in our wants. So most marketing that appeals to benefits, which is what I believe most marketing should, is going to talk about a lot of the same things. So you might be saying, well, how is that exciting? It's exciting when it's believable. Now that's the real hard part. The hard part is making it believable. And I have to hand it to my mentor, Mark Joyner, because he asked me that question when I was talking about my email program. He said, flat out, he said, why should I believe you? And I struggled with that for a little while. You know, even though I'm so gung-ho about this project, and I know that it's worked for me for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Flawlessly. Even though I know that, I could just see the angry customer. And having worked in retail before, I know what the angry customer looks like. And he walks up to you and he says, well, why should I believe you?
Yep.
And you have to answer that. If that is not in your sales letter, and it should be pretty early on, then you need to go back to the drawing board.
And what kind of information can I give somebody to make or to show them that I am sincere and they can believe me?
Some tried and true methods are: offer your own personal experience, offer a guarantee, a warranty, offer emblems of affiliation. You know, if it's backed by the U.S. government, then it's probably pretty good. If it's backed by so-and-so bank who's been around for who knows however many centuries, then it's probably pretty good. If it's just some guy who was able to, you know, set up a web page for $8, then they may not believe it. If you can, you know, show them your refund policy, tell them exactly how to get a refund if they want it. Give them a double refund if that's what it takes. I think I mentioned one of Gary Halbert's techniques is say, I'll take your check, but I won't cash it for 30 days.
Yep.
All you have to do is call me and tell me you'll cancel. And, you know, a lot of old-time marketers are really skeptical about that process. Oh, no, the refund rate will be way too high and all that. But it comes down to the algebra. And, yeah, he wrote about that very recently in one of his newsletters. And that also is on my site, Gary Halbert. Gary Halbert's newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an amazing copywriting resource, and it's free, so check that out. What else can you do to make yourself believable? You know, logic. Logic in and of itself is a tremendous believability tool. Explain how your product works. If you have to get down to the nitty gritty of it, not everyone is going to read that. Some people are going to gloss over it simply because they're not interested in it or it's over their head. But if it might help someone, put it in there. You know, when you're dealing with a web page, you're not paying by the word.
Right, yep.
So the more information you can offer, the more you have to offer. Don't be afraid to explain exactly what you're going to do. And that all ties back into painting the picture. Now, if sometimes it helps to use a metaphor. Let's talk about your affiliate ebook.
Yep.
Now I already know that you're going to teach me how to make more than $150 a month.
Right. Yep.
Right. Okay. So that's what's in it for me. But how are you going to do that? What are you going to tell me about, Terry?
I would have to go through, I think, the logical process of which programs I would choose, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the process I go through where I actually use a product. If I like the product, then I get, I become a part of the sales team and be an affiliate. Then I'll, like you have mentioned before, I'll write the advertorial. I'll post it to, the free advertorial areas, all the e-zine publishers, that type of thing, as well as I might place some ads in print magazines, and basically kind of, use the marketing techniques that I've put together that have worked in the past, and then just basically take my system and explain all that in detail in the book.